Well, hello everybody out there, Music Video Land. Welcome to another edition of the Music Video Land podcast, the 99th episode, to be exact. We're coming up on number 100. My name is Adam Fairholm, one of the dudes that type stuff into computer for IMVDB, the Internet Music Video Database. And the last few podcasts, we've been down one, but now the gang is all here. And part of that gang is Mr. Doug Klinger in Florida. How you doing, Doug?
Doing super good. Happy you used the gang is all here phrase, because otherwise I would have used it. So you got it in.
Really? I have old people use the gang is all here.
There's a funny video on the internet called The Gang's All Here. We'll link to that in the show notes. It's ridiculous.
Okay. I'm going to write that down and Google it later. And then we also have Mr. Adam Alexander, Fringe Music Fix. Adam, welcome, and how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good tonight.
Because last podcast, number 98 for anybody keeping track, we talked to Doug via phone since he was coming back from South by Southwest. Doug, you are safely home from South by Southwest.
Here I am.
It seems like, which is good. And we have a whole blog post detailing in exquisite detail, even down to the fact that Doug sat next to a dude he didn't know at the music video screening. Down to that level of detail on the blog.
This is an important piece of information, okay?
Tons of pictures and a lot of pictures of people, of directors and
looking into my computer.
Looking into your computer, doing music video commentary. Maybe we could talk about that later.
There's like 15 pictures of Simon, about 18 pictures of Ian and Cooper. Like 35 of Isaac Bauman. So yeah, we're good. We're plenty of pictures of those peeps.
Ian and Cooper were kind of the bell. They were the bell of the ball, though, because they won.
The bells of the ball.
Right.
Somebody's always the bell of the ball at South by Southwest, though, because he owns that joint.
I know. He had another music video in it, the competition this time. We were there last year. I was there last year, you as well, when he won for the Vitalik Stamina video. And so one thing that you had not relayed to me that happened during South by Southwest that I read in this article was that Ian and Cooper were on the balcony when they found out that they won and came down, which I can definitely see how that can happen, because it was kind of by fluke that last year we were even in the audience with Simon. I mean, it's not like make sure you come to this thing and here's your seat so you can get up there to accept your award at the Oscars or something. It's kind of like everybody file into this auditorium.
And they let the filmmakers in early as well. Mm-hmm. Which is even funnier because they were still up in the balcony.
Some people just like to see to sit in the balcony, I think. I don't know.
People are crazy, especially Ian and Cooper. Those are crazy guys.
But it must have been a fun moment when they came down to accept the music video.
Oh, they did, and they literally ran down. So that was fun. And it was cool. And they were like, we're up here! And they're like, okay, come down.
So one thing I wanted to run by people is that I think this time, it's about a week now. We've had a new version of the site up, and I've got a little blog post kind of detailing some of the hows and whys behind the new version of IMVDB. And we have a ton of little changes that maybe you wouldn't even notice. And one of those is that on the blog, in the comment section, we used to use Facebook comments, which I'm not really sure why we initially made that decision. It was made a very long time ago. But for the new version, we decided to switch over from Facebook comments because we weren't really getting a lot of interaction on Facebook comments. We decided to switch to Discuss, which is kind of like a very popular and kind of internet standard commenting system that you can deploy on your blog. So we decided to deploy that. And since then, just in the past week, I've been called an idiot for not recognizing the artistry of Tattoo. From my article on all the things she said, but just
before, we also learned that Sting played bass on one of Tattoo's songs and is a big fan of theirs. So.
Right, this person was very.
This person is Tattoo, with a fake account.
But just before we got on the podcast, I got a little email from Discuss, and this time it was from a comment that having this comment here just like justifies my whole reason for switching over to Discuss. So in November, I wrote an article about the Gautier song Somebody That I Used to Know featuring Kimbra. And at the end of the article, I said, quote, "One fun item I came across when looking up GoatGA info is that there's apparently an uncut version with nudity in it that has not been posted online yet." And I read this in several places, and I thought it was a relatively verified fact. So I put that in there. And then just half an hour ago, Natasha Pincus, the director of the video, commented on the post and said, "Hey, Adam, Natasha Pincus here, director of the GoatGA vid. Just wanted to say that there's no uncut nude version of the video. Hilarious. I'd love to read where that rumor was started."
Wow. When did that come up?
Just a half an hour ago.
Holy cow. We need to talk to her now.
I know. Seriously. And this is, if you're one of the few people who haven't seen this video, this is the famous video from 2011 where Gautier and Kimber are painted. And in that...
You have good things to say about that video, I hope, huh? You never know with that era of relapses. That was a pretty sarcastic era for relapses when you did that.
Oh, no,
post.
I have nothing but praise for the video.
Rightfully so.
Yeah, it's a fantastic. Well, it's one of my favorite videos, and one of the things that I bring up just toward the end of the article before mentioning that uncut version, I'm glad does not exist, because that would be weird. is that there are so, and Doug, you and I know, because we started IMVDB around the time this video came out, there are so many parodies of this video.
Oh, God.
And one of the kind of markers of quality of this video is that the parodies are down to some of the most minute details of this video. Like the shoulder roll that Kimbra does before she, goes over to Gautier and kind of sings in his face.
If you remember, there's even an SNL parody, and I think we, excuse me.
Yeah, but that came a few years later, yeah.
I think we wrote a blog post or something about it saying, or at least talked about in the podcast, something about the fact that, for SNL to be parodying a music video that was so, that's not, Thriller or something that, everybody has seen, it says a lot to how popular that music video was, that it could be referenced in pop culture that recently from how long it came out, and it's still made sense to people like that. So
definitely
it's fun.
And yeah, I you can't see it anymore, because when we switched over, one of the caveats of switching over a comment system obviously is you lose all the old comments. We didn't really have that many, so it wasn't really a big deal. But one of the ones that we did lose is I wrote a blog post about the Killers music video for,
I can't wait for you guys to watch this Gangs All Here video.
So, I did a music video relapse for Human, directed by Danny Drysdale. And at the time I was kind of trying to suss out what music video relapse should be. Sometimes I pull out a ridiculous video from the past, but one that still definitely has its merits. I did one in the Dale Restigini video for Crank That by Soulja Boy, which is a kind of outrageous, ridiculous video, but it's still a really good video. And I kind of thought I was doing the same thing with Human by the Killers, but then Danny Drysdale commented on it, and I think he said something like something that deflated me. I don't know. It was like, that's it.
He did not
appreciate happy.
Your comments about the video. He did not agree with your reading of the video.
And it's just, when you're writing these things, you don't really think the person who put their blood, sweat, and tears in this video is going to see it. And I've tried never to be outwardly say a video is kind of terrible or anything like that. But I do, when I do find kind of ridiculous stuff, the video that Shaq was in by Owl City.
Yeah, that one always comes to mind, that Owl City Shaq video.
If you're a director of that, even if you poured your heart and soul into that, you've got to recognize the ridiculousness of the Shaq cameo in that video. But anyway, I'm getting way off track, because we should be talking about the music videos of the week.
At least we're talking about music videos. That's better than the first 12 minutes of some of the other episodes we've done, so...
One of the other 99.
We're doing it.
Right. So we should talk a little bit about the number one video that I'm looking at right now for the week. It's sitting at about 1.5 million. Sexercise by Kylie Minogue. You guys have seen this video, right? I hope.
Ooh boy, have we?
Yes, we have.
Directed by Will Davidson, and this is a video. I actually. Kylie Minogue, I get her confused with a few other people. But this is a video where obviously they've taken the title and kind of run with it in a literal sense. It is kind of like a montage of kind of softcore pornish exercise like shots where they're yep. like humping, you know, exercise balls and doing all sorts of things in a smoky room. Yes, that's what I have to say on that.
That was your reading of the video?
Yeah, well I
think you nailed it.
Yeah, I think it's a simple concept, but it's all in the execution, right? And there's two things I think that's really important, two kind of references, I think, that they're making in this video. One is to the Call on Me video. I don't know if you guys remember this one. It is Call on Me. I did a music video video relapse about this as well, and it is by Eric Prydz. This is the one where where it's also kind of like a sexy workout video, but it's done in a humorous way. And the other one is a lot of these moves, I think, are cribbed from Shakira circa 2009, She-Wolf era kind of stuff. I don't know if you guys got that vibe as well.
There's a lot of butts, a lot of shots of butts in this video. And there's a lot of that in Shakira music videos. So yeah, I think so.
But even more specifically, during that time, I don't if you guys have seen the She-Wolf video. This is another music video relapse video. There is like at that time, Shakira was kind of like honing a certain skill set of moves, and one of them was where she would lay flat on the ground, stomach down, and just like raise her butt up which sounds easy to do, but is very difficult. And she does it in a cage in the She-Wolf video, but they kind of like reference that a little bit, I feel like.
A little bit, yeah. They also have leotards in this video. Sorry, I'm just watching leotards. This video. I have no idea what you're saying. I'm very distracted by the skin colored leotards in this video. But yeah, I do see those now. If I can remember what you were talking about, yeah, I just saw that move, and it does remind me a little bit of a Shakira move.
And let's remember that Kylie Minogue is 45 years old. This is a pretty impressive. Yeah,
she's definitely been at it for a while. Like to say that, she's huge, eh? And especially in the UK, in terms of pop artists, even in Europe, she's an equivalent to Madonna, really, in Europe. She's huge,
with more recent and more relevant hits, I think.
Right.
She just does things more her own way, I guess. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think she's been able to stay in shape because she's been doing a lot of sexercising?
And there we have it.
But this video kind of falls into a interesting category of like very literal kind of interpretations of a video.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much
what else are you going to do with this video?
Right.
It's called sexercise, so I don't know really. Yeah.
You could be like tongue in cheek with it a little bit more, but I think they went the right way. My only problem is that I've in the last couple of years since running this site, I've been on, you know, my share of music video sets, and I still haven't been on a music video set that's anything like this. So we got to get a petition or a Kickstarter fired up to get me on a music video set like this. Next time someone's making a sexercise-esque music video, bring me on as a BTS. They've got somebody listed here as BTS, so why not us? Sorry David Lopez Edwards, but I'm gunning for your job.
So actually, speaking of Madonna, I think she actually did a video not that long ago, maybe a year or two ago, where it was similar to this too. It kind of had like the Jane Fonda workout theme going on. Do you guys remember that video? I can't think of the track right now.
I do not remember that video.
Yeah.
Let me look
this
up.
This one's
by
a
year.
Lot better, I think. What was it called?
Let's see here. I'm looking at the Madonna
she had
fade.
Like the sweatband, and she had like the leotards. I think it was Hung Up, 2005, if it was that long ago. Wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was 2005. Where have I been?
Directed by Johan Renck. And oh, yeah, look at this. Wow.
So it's a similar kind of a deal, too. And they're close in age. Well, Madonna would have been closer to her age now then, I suppose. But, yeah, similar.
It's part of a proud tradition of kind of sexy workout videos, which is a sexy weird.
Yeah, what's that one videos. Satisfaction? That's not a workout video, though, is it? They're doing construction.
I have no clue what you guys are talking about.
Oh, come on, Satisfaction?
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. It's workout. I don't know that it's
construction, it's
though. It's workout.
Okay. Well, whatever it is.
Well, I think the gold standard for this would be the Call on Me Eric Prydz video, just for the amount of parody it's gone through, and that was released 10 years ago now. But this one definitely is shot like much more stylistically. I thought it was a good video. Obviously, it struck a chord. I mean, you can't really go wrong with adding a little bit of sexiness in your music video, especially if it's the full video. This one kind of hits you hard in the beginning and kind of runs for the full 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's just bending over in high heels for 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
I found the one you were talking about too, Doug. Benny Benassi.
Yeah, Dougal Wilson.
Yeah, it's construction. You're right.
Yeah, construction.
It's a good one.
What are they building?
It's a great bit. It's a fantastic
bit. They are building nothing, but they're doing it very well.
They're just, you know, they're just drilling things and sanding
and
things.
So everything. They've got, yeah, chainsaw. They got the whole thing.
It's intentionally, you know, it's intentionally graphic.
Yeah.
But like in tongue in cheek, but also actually.
Hmm.
You know. That old gag, but it's like red letter, you know, the red letter example of it. 2003, Dougal Wilson.
Hmm. Yeah, I think that there's. I mean, I would say that this video is this exercise video is fully tongue in cheek.
Oh, you would?
I would definitely say that. I think they know exactly what they're doing, and it's sort of like a nod, like, oh, here's a song that's called Sexercise. Well, even the name of the song, the track, Sexercise.
Yeah, but I don't think it's intentionally. I think they're. Oh really? I didn't get that. But okay, sweet. I thought that they were being. I thought they were being genuine.
No,
well,
they are to a certain extent.
I don't think it's complete. I didn't read that as completely tongue in cheek. Maybe a little bit self awareness.
It's not like satirical.
But they're like really like they really watched this and they were like, "This is sexy as shit," because like it is.
Oh yeah, the video is done to a higher. It's a higher quality. Like it's not like a stupid. It's not a stupid video.
No,
no, they're it's, not. Like, it's, stupid. A lot it's not a less goof. Stupid it's not a spoof than a goof.
Right, like a video about a video for a song called "Sexercise" could be a lot stupider than this one is.
Oh yeah,
it could be terrible, really.
They could have got like Richard Simmons.
Yeah,
we could have Michael Key Schmidt in there.
Oh, I'm surprised they don't.
Actually, that would be. What am I saying? That would be actually pretty cool. So then, I think in terms of like these, I think music videos have the unique problem of you don't really know when it's tongue in cheek or not. Because of the kind of the sheer volume of music videos, and also because artists like to kind of keep stuff like that close to the vest, I think a little bit more than other people making, you know, videos for the internet. And one of those artists that I think is very good at that, keeping things close to the chest, is Carmen, who had a new music video this week, which is number 3 on our chart for this week. The song is called Pulses, directed by Ian Smith.
And it features a similar hairstyle to Lady Carmen. I don't know her name, but that what's it called? What's the hairstyle? What's Lady Carmen's name?
It's called the Suicide Roll, and the Lady Carmen is Amy Heidman.
Heidman, and this video features Boy Harmon way more than normal. He even says stuff.
It does. So,
no personality though in the stuff that he says.
So Carmen is an artist that has been really interesting to watch, and it's one of those unique cases where their whole career thus far, which hasn't been that long, just a few years, has been charted out through music videos. They kind of got their start on YouTube doing covers. I think their most famous cover is probably the Chris Brown Look At Me Now cover.
Definitely. Although I did hear a radio station in Austin try to like take credit for their popularity. It might have been on satellite radio. It's like, we discovered Carmen. It's like, you're fucking lying. And then somebody's like, Kendrick Lamar made his name at South by Southwest. It's like, people just say whatever they want in radio commercials. Anyway.
So after that, they had an album, and they had some pretty well-known, you know, some hits that did pretty well in 2011, 2012, like Crash Your Party and Broken Hearted, which both had really good videos. And then they kind of started to go off the deep end, because one of the signature kind of visual things of Carmen was this hairstyle. And I'll link to a how-to video of this hairstyle called The Suicide Roll by Amy from Carmen herself.
I was hoping Doug made that video.
Doug wishes his hair was long enough for that. She decided to go... her hair was straightening. The first kind of signs that things were different were their Sleigh Ride video from 2012, which was a holiday video. They kind of went dark for a while. And then she's been back with like straight hair with like a really different style. And in the Broken Hearted Crash Your Party era, like their first album, the guy, Nick Noonan, was like way back. And in this video, he is front and center. She kind of has like a version of the Suicide Roll going on. It's like sort of the Suicide Roll 2.0. But there are a lot of really weird long shots of him shirtless. And I don't...
Yeah, really weird. It's so... Like, Carmen is such a strange band because she's got like 15 people's personality. Like, enough personality for 15 people. And he's got about as much personality as negative 15 people. So it's a really weird combination of her just being like an animaniac all around him and him just being like a wall. And it's their weird-ass band. But yeah, he's shirtless. I was not expecting to see Nick Noonan's nipples ever. And that changed.
Well... And it's also the idea of the, I mean, this is a really kind of old concept that has been played with over the years. This idea of an act which has the male and female kind of aspect to it. Like the White Stripes definitely played off of that. Tons of other artists have kind of like played off this difference between male and female and what, you know, and how they're presented. And this kind of... This video, the reason I found it so interesting is because it kind of turned it on its head a little bit. I mean, he's the guy who's naked in the video a little,
right,
a little bit.
Right, right.
Which
also
is,
it's like a reverse hip hop thing where she sings the hip hop verse and he sings the hook, which is kind of the reverse of what we get in hip hop usually.
Exactly. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that actually. It is a definite reverse. Weird that. Yeah, go ahead, Doug.
I was just gonna say something else about the video that we had mentioned, and I guess it's worth mentioning, is that George Takei, well, you know, one of those, he's the narrator. He's the narrator in this video.
That's
and
right.
He gives us an oh my, which is expected.
That's his...
It's his catchphrase, of course, but like...
Some people run away from their catchphrases or the things that they're known for, and George Takei runs full into that.
George Takei has the weirdest internet presence ever. He just posts memes all day. He's like,
awesome though.
People like know me now, and I have a bit of a following. What do I do with this? I know, memes.
I think it's an interesting choice.
But like,
I think
all
he
day.
Has the most. I think he might still have the most Facebook followers. He did at one point. He had the most.
The most likes? No way.
I think he did. At one point, I read that, or
I think you read it in the Liar's Manual.
He has a lot. He has a million.
Oh yeah, he has a lot. That's for sure.
I thought I read that. He has
5 of likes. Hold on. Top 100 Facebook fan pages.
We could just look. He's got 6.5 million.
Now, are you talking – so, like, Rihanna has
Barack 80, Obama's got, like, 40 million.
But, no, was it Facebook fan likes or was it people following him? That's a crucial difference.
I'm not sure. I think it was – I thought it was his fan page. Now, he has a lot.
Though. It might have been followers, we'll just leave though.
It at that, so that doesn't make sense.
So,
like Lady Gaga or someone like that would have more.
So my brother Sean, I accidentally followed him on Facebook when they first like came out with this thing, and now every time he does anything on Facebook, it like shows up as a notification on my phone. So if he,
like Sean has checked in somewhere.
Exactly, or like Sean has changed his profile picture, or just like any little detail, Facebook is like, Adam Fairholme has to know about this. And I think Facebook has, like many things that they have introduced throughout the years and abandoned, I think they have mostly abandoned this following thing, but it could be the following thing, because for a while they tried, I don't even know what they were thinking. Like many other things that Facebook decides to go with. I think they were trying something along the lines of Twitter, where instead of like being someone's friend, you would follow them, I guess?
And yeah, get that's exactly what it was. Yeah. That's
and then for a while, you would unfriend someone, and they'd still be following you on Facebook. Facebook's made some weird decisions with stuff. They were getting in like a lot of privacy issues. That stuff doesn't seem to be such a big deal for them anymore. As much as it used to be like a couple of years ago. But for a while, it was like, it was weird how much people were freaking out about how like a website that they agreed to terms and services, terms of agreements and none of those are the right words, but I used the
nobody
right.
Nobody made them sign up. That's the thing, right?
Right, but so it was just weird. Like people were freaking out about Facebook and that seems to have stopped a little bit. But yeah, they were doing a lot of different weird things. Around that time, and continue to do.
They're creepy.
Adam, I just saw something you posted to Facebook from your personal account because I'm your friend. I'm not following you, but I'm your friend. The an interview that Vice did with Daniel Kwan. That's awesome. It's and the picture right there is you can see the other side of Daniel's working on the set.
There's some really good. I read that interview earlier today as well, and there's a video or like a GIF of Daniel Schneider working the penis.
Oh no!
It's so fucking ridiculous. He's just working the penis, but yeah, they really get the they really get in there and like kind of unearth a lot of the stuff that we probably picked up on. Because we've been following following Daniel's work so closely for the last, basically since we've been running the site, has been like the era in which Daniels have been just killing it. And so, there's a lot of stuff that we picked up on that I would say we probably picked up on that they get into detail in that interview. One thing that's weird though, in whenever you see them talked about, people are always calling them the Daniels, and I'm pretty sure that's not their name.
No.
But I don't think there is, like, Lamar plus Nick are very specific about how they want to be named. I don't know if Daniels are as specific or if they care as much.
At the Vimeo Awards in 2010, or was it 2011? Anyway, the last time there was in a Vimeo Awards, they did a talk with the then Vimeo curator, Blake Whitman, and he... mentioned that they specifically didn't want to be the Daniels and that they were Daniels. And though people mention it and they clearly are like, I don't think they're like so get upset about it or bent out of shape about it. I do think that it was a conscious decision to be Daniels and not the Daniels. So
and
it's interesting though, it gets into like the interview also gets into like some of the reaction, obviously. People are talking about the video like ending Asian stereotypes and
oh really
like that. Yeah, and then also certain Asian stereotypes, and then also the fact that Katy Perry tweeted this video this week, and then a lot of Katy Perry fans ended up watching Dan Kwan's penis dance. And so that's also really, really fucking funny.
She tweets some good stuff, actually.
She does. She also
actually has some good taste. I've seen her tweet out some really awesome stuff. Go ahead.
The last time she tweeted a music video and said it was one of her favorite of the year was the Foster the People coming of age video directed by Brother. So she does have good music videos.
Which is one of your favorites.
It is. And well,
single.
I think
she's single right now, Doug.
Oh shit, watch out, guys. Turn Down for What is probably, as of right now, my favorite video of 2014.
Oh, it's, definitely shortlistable,
it's
a, for sure.
It's at the top. That's as of right now. There's still a lot of year left, but
well, I hadn't even thought about the whole Asian stereotype thing. I guess because it, you know, we have followed Daniels for a while and is so recognizable as Daniel Kwan. I don't know.
Mean, you know, there is in American culture like a lot of people who emasculate Asian males. Like, that's a thing that happens a lot of times. It happens frequently from, like, you know, when the pictures of, like, Lord's boyfriend came out and all, you know, there's countless examples that you can point to.
The Hangover, what's his face?
Yeah, right. Just a million things. Yeah. And so, you know, but, like, yeah, like, I watched the video and, like, and I see Dan Kwan, but I guess, like, yeah, maybe somebody else who watches the video and just sees it for the first time and obviously, like, isn't following, like, the work of Daniels or pay his attention to music videos might just see, like, oh, that's an Asian man. And
and he's bringing, you know, the party.
And he's bringing the party. And he's packing
heat. He's
packing heat.
He's bringing the party whether people want it or not.
No, he's aggressively, and it's whether he wants it or not too. That kind of,
so that's the one thing about the video that I go back and forth on whether there are definitely certain, like, looks from the Dan Kwan character in that video where it seems like he is kind of possessed by something, but then there are other moments where I feel like maybe he's totally into it. I think that's
a line that all the characters toe in that video, is that none of them want to be doing it at first, and then as they're doing it, they end up getting on board, and so
they get pulled to the dark side.
What a fucking video.
They resist initially, but then once you're there, you're there.
There's a lot of look out. Last year, 2013, there was only one music video that came out directed by Daniels, but I know for a fact they've already got one coming down the pipeline as well, co-directed by Zach Stoltz, where I'm pretty sure they talk about, Dan Kwan talks about a little bit about this in the Vice interview as well. The concept of the video is a nudist colony that gets attacked by people who shoot them with clothes.
Nice.
That's one of those one line music video treatments that just kind of get them in the door.
Yeah, that's another thing though. Like Daniels are like, there's a lot of like a lot of their videos can be summed up in one line, and you're like, yep, I'm on board. Like oh, a band dies, and the rest of the video they're just reanimating them to try to make another. Try to make them perform live. Like you can sum up a lot of their videos, and you're like, yeah, I like that. Let's watch it.
There was also a interesting thing. I think it happened on the last podcast that we should just address real quickly. That the Turn Down for What video got taken down while our podcast was going on, and later was put back up. I think it was put back up on another account.
Yeah, it was moved.
Where did it get moved? It was on the DJ Snake account. Did it get moved to the Little John account or something?
I think it got moved to Columbia's account.
It was something like that. And the view count was reset, too. I don't know if they've since transferred over. But
did we hold those views?
So at the time that they had taken it down, they were sitting at 330K, and I did transfer those views over into the auxiliary view count thing. We have a little known feature that is actually very little used that should get more use on IMVDB, where if there are video views elsewhere, I think we initially debuted it for the Happy video, something that can be tracked via Vimeo or YouTube, but it does have like a quantifiable numerical value that we can put to it.
And a trustworthy number as well. Because something else I wanted to talk about on this podcast, and this could kind of be that transition, is, for example, on World Star Hip Hop, you know, they premiere music videos, and so a lot of rappers premiere their music videos on World Star Hip Hop, and they have a view count, and it's I believe it to be untrustworthy, and I'm not alone in that opinion, and so we wouldn't pull view counts from something like that, but because like 24 Hours of Happy is a website, a Pharrell website, and on that site they had a view count. We trusted those numbers.
But you're telling us is to all books bookmark World Star Hip Hop right now.
Yeah, everyone go to World Star Hip Hop. Well, if you were to go to World Star Hip Hop, now would be the time, because this week we did a blog post about it. Some inmates in a prison in South Carolina face additional charges because they recorded a rap video in prison. And that's insane. And that video was posted to World Star Hip Hop. So of course we did a blog post about it because that's crazy. Did you guys watch this video? Right? I know. Adam Fairholme watched it.
I have not, but I'm intrigued.
It's different than you might expect. I was kind of wondering going into it. You know what would they do in prison? Because it's obviously filmed by a cell phone, and they didn't edit anything. It's more like them kind of like jumping around in a bunk, yelling at the camera.
Yeah, from what I know, this appears to be some kind of a jail cell, right? I've never been to prison, but I imagine that this might be yet. This might be what the inside of a prison looks like. And all the dudes, they're wearing, you know, their prison costumes. They're doing – I mean, obviously, this is the only way to do this in prison, right? You're not going to be able to, make beats, real beats or whatever. So it's like beatboxing, and they're hitting their chests, and there's a lot of chanting going on, you know. There's guys in there who like basically just go mix, mix, mix. Like they're not even saying real songs. But I would still qualify this. You can't get much more in terms of a music video. This was definitely planned. The moves were planned. The way they were doing it, like there's some camera movement and stuff like that. So I'm counting this in my head as a music video. And it's insane. It's like these guys are. They're pretty awesome. Like it's pretty awesome. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed
these
watching.
These are not like these aren't rappers that we know. These are just
no. These appear. This as far as we can tell. These are just prisoners that decided to rap and like sneak in a cell phone and like take whatever risks you like can be taken by publicly like. Being a prisoner and then posting it, because like it has been like the communications director for the South Carolina Department of Corrections released a statement saying that they're investigating the video and that the inmates involved will be appropriately charged. So like they're kind of acknowledging that the people in this video are indeed prison inmates, and so this is awesome.
People, but you gotta respect the dedication to music. That I can get behind that. Just to put
there's a lot worse things. There is a lot worse things that you can do in prison that will get you additional time in prison, and this is the coolest of them all. So
you gotta love rap. You gotta love rap.
You gotta love music videos.
That it's important to note that for the rappers, the famous rappers who have gone to prison, like Lil Wayne or the guy's name? T.I. or you know Martha Stewart or something like that. Their sentences are usually very, very uneventful. There's no
not always. Like for example, C Murder, who is Master P's brother and used to be a rapper on No Limit Records, he went to jail for murder and like is in jail forever now. So that's he was appropriately named as a rapper named C Murder. If you remember, famously Shine went to jail. Everyone was saying that he went to jail for Puff Daddy. It was when Puff Daddy, Jennifer Lopez, and I think Shine were like all in a car. They got pulled over. There was like a secret compartment with a gun in Puff Daddy's car, and Shine ended up being the one that went to jail for it. So he's another one. And then Lil Boozy just get out of jail?
He just got out. Yeah, there's a video of him doing some freestyle rapping on the drive home. You should look that one up.
That's sweet.
But yeah, see. I think Martha Stewart jail is different than Gucci Mane jail. I'm pretty sure that's a different jail.
And then
what
was it? Snoop Dogg had that song "Murder Was the Case." Didn't he face murder charges, or maybe that was just
I don't know. Snoop the main one I remember is when Lil Wayne went to Rikers for what is it, a year or so, and he had like letters that people that were posted by his website, and then afterwards he, I don't know, post. Jail Lil Wayne is a lot different than pre-jail Lil Wayne. Let's just
do you remember when DMX was at the airport, I think in Miami, and like he tried to like steal a car or something, like leave the airport parking lot, and he like tried to tell the person at the gate at the airport to like let him out for free because he was an FBI agent. I'm sure I'm getting some of the details wrong, but he definitely told somebody in some kind of toll booth or airport gate that he was an FBI agent and they needed to let him go.
I don't even care if that doesn't turn out to be true. That's the best.
No, the FBI, him pretending to be an FBI agent, he definitely served time for that. So that's fun. That's fun.
Oh, man. Well, while we're on the subject of current news, we should probably talk a little bit about the follow-up to the Vimeo thing, because we spent like the last whole podcast talking about that.
Was it just a blip on the radar? A lot of people look like they got their videos put back up.
I think it was, actually. And I think, you know, we were talking about, you know, Adam and I did the podcast last week, and we called you in, Doug, and we also talked to Norton, who has been outspoken on this issue. At that point, it didn't look like there was much of a resolution, because it seemed like the labels were kind of resolute in going ahead and issuing these DMCA notices. And when Vimeo gets a DMCA notice, a Digital Millennium Copyright Act notice, to take down a video, you know, they have to do it, or else their safe harbor is threatened. So they're, you know, the labels had kind of all the power here. And from what it looks like from different directors, some directors knew what happened. Like Vincent Haycock knew that some people at the label kind of pulled some strings and got his videos back up. And I think Isaiah didn't know what had happened, but his videos were back up. So it looks like most of them are. I think there are still a few that are not down, but like David Wilson, who was the first tweet that we referenced and how this whole thing started, his videos are back up. So
But I will say that Dan Kwan, we mentioned this last week, Dan Kwan did mention that it seemed like he was told he wasn't allowed to put Turn Down for What up on Vimeo. And as of right now, that one's still not up there. So,
yeah, I think it's definitely not totally resolved. I do think though that, we posted that blog post, just a little blog post kind of, recapping some tweets and stuff, and we got a large amount of traffic and Facebook likes for that post, much more than any other just sort of normal news one. I mean, it definitely struck a nerve, and I think saying labels is sort of like a faceless thing. I mean, there are, you know, the few big labels, and then there are many other smaller ones, so it's kind of a moving target. But
there's definitely people at the labels who I'm sure were just as unhappy about this as everybody else. You know what I mean? And this is another thing we mentioned last week. We still get credits sent to us from these labels. So, you know, I'm sure that they want, you know, the people who work on the video departments at these labels, I'm sure, you know, want people credited just as much as anyone else, because they realize that people are a lot of times on these music videos working for those credits. And so,
yeah, I mean, labels are large institutions, and, you know, the people that we have contact with at labels are the people who are in charge of, you know, making videos, the video, you know, head of video departments or the video commissioners at these labels. And their job is to, you know, find talent, find people who direct videos, who make, you know, amazing videos that will promote their artists. So, you know, I didn't think of it at the time, but it doesn't surprise me that there might have been, you know, some vouching for directors done inside the labels that made them pull back a little bit, or made them, you know, strike some deals, or kind of let it slide in a way again. Because, you know, what, there are arms of these labels that rely on the creativity of people who rely on the platform that is Vimeo. There's a relationship there that I think needs to stay intact.
And it definitely seemed very deliberate, though, which is really interesting. The interesting thing about it, it's not like these were just some guys who just like decided to upload the videos to YouTube to make money off of them. It wasn't some random thing where, like, on YouTube, I know that they like just search song, you know, like for example, if you upload a video to YouTube with certain songs in it, it'll flag it immediately and know immediately if it's got the music in there or not. Like, it's not a person, it's it being flagged. Whereas these were up, they were fine, people have seen them, and then they went back and targeted specifically the director uploads. It wasn't like a sweep of Vimeo where all the music videos by Columbia or by whatever label got removed from Vimeo. It was like, let's go get these director videos off. It was something that seemed to definitely be targeting the directors and directors of photography and specifically the people who worked on these videos. So that was one of the, you know, interesting details about it, is that it wasn't like a big net cast over Vimeo to pull everything. They were specifically targeting the creators of these videos and pulling them down. So that's pretty freaky, Bowie.
Adam, have you had that experience of uploading something to YouTube and like them flagging the music immediately?
Yes, I have. Many times. basically just like I used to throw together if there was a song that I liked and I didn't really understand, I knew there was probably some form of copyright infringement, but I had seen many fan videos of that sort, and if there was a song that I liked, I would just splice together something with some video that I liked and throw that up there. And yeah, it's definitely automated. It's a bot or something that I guess recognizes the waveforms and red flags it, and you get no audio.
They're pretty sophisticated over there at YouTube, because they're just pretty much from day one over there. Copyright infringement has been the sort of central to their story as, you know, becoming a company. So it's sort of ingrained in their company in keeping their safe harbor intact, keeping their legal status intact. It's been really interesting. And yeah, I've always been surprised when I directed a documentary a while ago, and I decided to go ahead and like monetize the trailer or whatever, because I just wanted to see what that process was like. It wasn't like it was getting thousands of views. But they were super like skeptical that I owned the content. I kept like having to produce documents and stuff like that to prove that I made this. So they're definitely very, very careful about that. But yeah. I think the moral of the story here is that this has been let up a little bit. I'm not sure. Obviously, we don't know where this came from, but it seems like people are. You know, the pressure is off a little bit.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, exactly. We brought more attention to this than necessary. No, I'm kidding. That's not true.
No, well, I think that, you know, I don't want to toot our own horn or anything like that, but having, you know, kind of a site that puts up some news about this, because there's only a handful of sites that paid attention to this whatsoever, and having, you know, the post get a lot of attention and kind of go around, I'm sure that is some sort of, I mean, at least it makes people take notice a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Because we're not, and I've said this many times on the podcast, you know, we're not like a news organization. We're not organized to be like giving you all the music video news on the blog. But, you know, when that's the point of the news, you know, isn't it, is to take things that people should pay attention to within a certain group and, you know, draw some attention to it.
This is sort of related. I want to bring everyone's attention. It's always fun to see the people who don't understand the copyright rules and see them upset. This is what inspired my tweet this week about why people ask people to allow download links on their Vimeo videos. Because some man commented on Simon Kesh's Placebo music video. And it's apparently he downloaded Simon's video and then re-uploaded it to YouTube and just like tried to put it on YouTube. And he commented on the video. He said, according to what I've read, I am allowed to download and upload videos as long as I link back to the original creator, allowing to credit them. I like this video, and now I posted it to YouTube. I can remove it. I posted at YouTube a video from here. They are concerned for copyright on the video. So and apparently his video got pulled. So that's fun. I wanted now, to talk
was
the about video, that.
Was it not already on YouTube?
Oh, it is. He just thought like he wanted like, this to guy cover. Thought he was like sharing it with his
friends.
Fans. Yeah, his friends. And so I've got a video. You know, you can get loops on GarageBand. Apparently, someone made a song using the loops and then copywrote that song. And one of my videos was one of the songs that I used from GarageBand was flagged as copywritten because somebody had then copywritten a song using those loops.
We live in interesting times in terms of copyrights. It's just amazing that I mean, one interesting case is the case of Getty Images, which recently kind of threw up its hands and realized that people were just kind of taking, I mean, images are so easy to just, even if you can't like just pull the image down to your hard drive to take a screenshot, and people were just kind of taking their images, which people were previously supposed to pay for news organizations, and just like, you know, it was going nuts. They couldn't control it. So they changed around their model so that you can like embed Getty Images. And it has like the copyright at the bottom. It's sort of like embedding tweets or something like that, which is something totally new for something like an organization like Getty, which is a huge supplier of images to news. And it's just interesting that somebody would think that, like, okay, I want to share this video. I like this video. Let me upload a copy of it.
I know. Let me download this video and then upload it to YouTube. On my YouTube account, and as long as I just throw a link back to the video, I'm good. And the guy literally copied and pasted his like email from. It says like a message to YouTube and Vimeo, like they're in cahoots. Like, listen, Vimeo, work with your friends YouTube, and tell them that I'm allowed. Because according to what I've read, like, where did you read that? Where is it that you read that? Somewhere.
So,
were there other music videos?
Oh yeah, I want to talk. let's hear about some of your guys's favorite music videos of the week. Adam.
Good. Okay, because I did a lot of staff picking today. I staff picked 5 videos today.
Yeah, I can see the list is growing. Yeah. Adam, did you have anything that stood out to you this week?
Yeah, lots. Actually, it's a pretty solid week for the smaller releases. I'm gonna go back to the beginning of the week. I think it probably came out on Monday. Yeah, it did. I'm not 100% sure how to pronounce her name, but it's Tove Lo, I believe. She released an alternate version for her single Habits. And I really liked this video a lot. It, basically, what it does is it kind of uses a similar camera to the one that's used in the movie Requiem for a Dream. It's kind of, well, I don't know if it's the same thing, but it focuses on the central character and it gives you a sense of like what they're doing. And basically,
snoring cam.
Yeah. Does that camera, is that attached usually like or from behind their view? Like, do you see a point of view? Because this
I actually didn't watch the video you're talking about, but in Requiem for a Dream, what you're talking about is a snorri cam. It's something that attaches. It can attach to your chest or sometimes your back, and it basically keeps the person that it's attached to stationary in the frame while everything else moves around them.
Okay, so do you see the front of the person, or is it?
It doesn't matter. You could be in the front of them or the back of them.
Okay, so this might be a similar camera then. It seems to
It's a rig that you put the camera on.
Yeah, so it might be that. It might be the same thing. Regardless of that, basically, the video follows her around as she proceeds to try to kind of drown out her sorrows with alcohol and making out with random strangers and drugs and stuff. And but they also make it very obvious that she's kind of really sad and lonely, and that this one party night is not really going to help things too much for her in the long run. But cool video, though. You guys should check that one out, I think.
Oh, we will. I did see that one, and I had a night of partying planned ahead of me, and it kind of got me down a little bit.
you weren't ready for it anymore.
Yeah, now after that, I just went and watched some TV. I'm like, you know what, whatever.
Good call. How about you? What did you like from this week?
So, I enjoy when a video comes down the pipeline and it just really like is visually intense. Actually, in one of the new header bar, that color for IMVDB, I've spent months trying out different colors, trying to find one, because it's a kind of a different shade of our original red. It is slightly tweaked, and I've been spending months trying to figure out like what the optimal kind of shade of red is there to like complement different videos. And I've been looking at all sorts of different videos, like visually like intense videos. And this one came across and I was like, oh, this is exactly what I've been waiting for. And it is the Philosophize In It, Chemicalize With It video by Kishi Bashi, directed by Jeff Hoskinson, came out yesterday. And it is a really trippy kind of the best way to describe the visuals are if you remember the cover for A Day and Age by The Killers. It was like this very kind of, there's a certain artist that does this kind of painting where it's all these little circles, but it's kind of looks like a watercolor. Anyway, it's a really beautiful effect, and it's kind of has this purple and pinkish and red hues to it. So they've done some really amazing things with that. But within it, there's like really kind of funny moments, interesting moments kind of sprinkled throughout. There's a sequence where two of these dots walk hand in hand through a walk cycle for like a good like 20 seconds. It's a really difficult video to explain, but it's really stunningly beautiful. And I thought it was great.
Yeah, I really like this one too. This is probably my favorite video of the week as well. And this is a video that Adam Alexander brought to our attention. So thanks for that, Adam Alexander.
No problem. It's a great one.
So I guess the video I'll talk about, since Adam talked about the Kishi Bashi video, I think I'll talk about Jealous, I Ain't With It by Chromeo, directed by Ryan Hope. Chromeo continues to make really, really fun and funny videos, and this one is no different. It features what's the guy? Is the skinny guy Dave One?
I think so. Yeah. Hold on. Yeah, we don't have him in the credits or something.
Yeah, I don't have him credit. I'm pretty sure Dave One is the skinny guy. And he's a pastor at kind of like a. It appears to be kind of like a Vegas style wedding place. You know, kind of a cheap wedding chapel, both guys from Chromeo appear to be kind of proprietors of this place, but Dave One is the main kind of pastor who proceeds over all of these weddings, and basically each it's a bunch of couples that come up to get married, and like the guy is kind of a goofy looking guy in each case, and it's a really beautiful woman in each case as well, and he's jealous of each of the guys, and he fantasizes about the women and that kind of thing. But what I really love about the video is that all of the groom in the video is groom the plural of groom.
I think just say groomsman. I think
thing.
I think you just go straight grooms. I don't think you need to complicate it.
Okay, fine. The grooms. Our play, a lot of them are like cameos. There's obviously the big one that a lot of people are talking about is ASAP Ferg has a cameo in the video, but then also fellow director, we're not directors, but Ryan Hope is director Dugan O'Neill, who appears in lots of music videos, some that he directed, and so others that he did not. But he's also in this video, and he's very funny in it. And for a while, he was a screenshot, and they changed it. He's not the screenshot anymore, so that's a bummer. But this is a lot of fun. This video is really fun. I just recently staff picked it because Chromeo makes so many good videos, and I feel like maybe I like Come Alive better than this one. But I think it's really a fantastic video. Anyway, it's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, Chromeo's on a roll for sure.
Yeah, and this song's really good too. I really dig this song. It came in handy on my drive to Austin. I would put it on and dance.
There you go.
So
I would say the song is stronger than Come Alive. You're right about the videos, but the track is probably the better of the two.
Yeah, I agree. But if we're talking about dancing, I do want to just talk about Thomas Barfod, Happy, just briefly, directed by Jacob Markey. This video features some sweet dance moves. Got a weird looking man with a mustache dancing in a sexy looking house. So
yeah, it's a good one too.
It's a fun one to watch also if you like any of those things that I just said.
Some passionate old man dancing in that video.
Yeah, I want to talk to that guy.
He's got a lot of fake plants.
I love the way this house is lit though, with all like with all of the lamps and strange things in the house all kind of like blinking. I really thought that was cool. And it's kind of like an eerie vibe to the video as well.
And the DP is Daniel Voldheim, which this is the first credit we have for him in the database, which could just mean that we haven't come across his name before, or could be that one of his first videos.
He's just getting started, yeah.
You never know. Because we're rounding in on 100,000 credits, and sometimes some people's things are very complete and some are not. So, and we're going to be hitting 28,000 credits pretty soon.
Man, this Bipolar Sunshine video was good this week as well. That's this week, 17th. That's this week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this one was really Monday. Good, too.
Oh, I was just agreeing with Doug.
Yeah, he was being my hype man, right? We were teaming up on that.
Another one you guys should both watch. It's a little bit of a lengthy video. I think it's about a 7-minute long video, but I did message Doug this one earlier. And it's definitely a highly conceptual video. I have no clue how to say this artist's name, but it's, I think, Burns without the U. Video is called Void, and it's a really, really super cool video. I can't remember offhand what the actor's name is, but the guy that they've casted in this is even just engaging to look at, but he also gives a very strong performance in the video. His name is Frederick Everard. I don't know what he's from, but he was credited as being someone who is an actor. So,
he's acting in this.
Did you give it a look, Doug?
I watched the first 3.5, so I'm getting there.
Oh, you missed the good part. Yeah, it definitely kind of picks up around that point, and it ends on kind of an interesting, puzzling note. It's kind of an enigmatic video, so definitely check that one out, too.
I will.
So while you're checking things out, I would direct you to go to the site. Hover over channels and playlists.
Yeah, do that.
And click on Fringe. Well, you can either click on Fringe Music Fix or Music Video Land, but click on Fringe Music Fix. this is a new feature. This is one of the things we've recently launched. And the idea is, and the sort of the concept of this feature is, go to the site and what is the least amount of clicks you can get to just start watching music videos. And the idea is that, you know, we have, you know, people who watch music videos and know what really great music videos are, like Adam at Fringe Music Fix. And they can kind of curate, you know, it's like having Adam Alexander sit you down in front of a computer and saying, well, watch this video. This is a great video. Watch these hundreds of videos. Yeah, because you can sit in front of a channel, depending on which channel it is. And it will never stop. Even if there are 100 videos and you watch a whole 100 of them, it'll start, you know, finding, you know, you might see some duplicates after, you know, 24 hours or something like that. But the idea is it just shows you different stuff. So music.
Sometimes it's not even curated by a human. Sometimes IMVDB itself will curate a channel for you and just spit out all the awesome music videos from the 90s, for example.
Exactly,
It's basically what we wish MTV still was.
Yes.
And there's
exactly what it is.
And actually it was designed, if you look, you know, there is a kind of a frame over the videos. You can only pause them, you can't scrub through them, but you can skip the videos. That's by design. And there's also sort of like a lower third where you get the song, the year, the director, and you can click on those and it'll take you another page, obviously, to show you more info. But the idea is that you don't like start mid video. Like if you turn on MTV and you would start a mid video, you always start at the beginning. I don't know anybody who would want to come in the middle of a music video. I think that, you got to watch them from the beginning. So that was one of the ideas behind this feature. But yeah, we have the 90s. We have a lot of auto channels coming up. We're just sort of, if you notice on the pages now, we have genres. We're kind of trying to hone those a little bit. So in the future, we'll have country. And we can actually get really one of the new, I guess I hesitated to call technology, but one of the new code features on the back end is something called Video Flow, which allows us to get down to like a very fine grain of what we want to see. So we can make a channel theoretically of music video, country music videos from the 90s, you know, above 500,000 views, that, you know, we could add a few more filters onto there, but you get the idea.
It's Friday tomorrow, so I have a request. You got to get that 80s channel up there for me, because I'm having an 80s dance party tomorrow night.
You really? You are?
Well, I might. If that channel's there, then I'm going to put the plans in place.
Have a 90s dance party. Shit.
So
The 90s are good, too. The 90s are good, too.
So here's a good news for you, is that this channel already exists. It just isn't featured yet, because I haven't done a logo for it. I'm going to send it to you right now. And if you look in the show notes, you will see an 80s channel. Tonight I'm creating the 2000s channel, which is I'm excited about, the aughts.
That'll be a good one.
2000s, sure? That ends in 2009, right?
That is how decades work, yes.
Yeah, I knew that. Well, because the 2000s, like if you called it the 1900s, that means whatever.
Yeah, that's right. The idea of decades in the new millennium is a whole different story, which we can't get into now. We'll be here all night. But yeah, it ends in 2009. I consider that a distinct decade.
It is. It is in fact one. It is a decade.
We are in the middle, almost in the middle of a completely new decade. So, and how about fancy that? So check out those channels. They don't work on mobile, by the way. You have to watch them on a desktop, which is unfortunate, but that's just the way mobile video works right now. And check out the blog for many more interesting things coming down the pipeline.
And that's it. And do more things. Follow us on Facebook and Twitters and Instagram and Vine and
Notepad.
Follow us on Notepad.